Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia at Lingus Mafia, along with your number one source for all of your wrestling news, all of your wrestling needs. He'll probably have some tidbits for us today. That's Billy Body.
Hi.
What's happening, man? Do you you talk to your COVID brother lately?
Who's that?
Drew.
All right. I did actually. I talked to him today to make sure that he'll he's okay calling Austin on his birthday on Sunday.
Oh no, shit. Okay, that's cool.
I actually said like because Russo and Austin are doing a call on a quick call together on Sunday.
Yeah,
because they're both turning 60 and 10.
Oh, that's great.
So I said to Drew, I was like, you should jump in on that. Like, if I see, he said, yeah, just let me know.
I shouldn't say that out loud. They'll get mad that he talks to Russo. God forbid.
Yeah, I mean, he said it's not like a recorded thing.
It's not a show.
No, it's not a show.
Yeah, I guess he could be friends with who he wants to be friends with, and well, maybe they'll still yell at him. Who the fuck knows with that company? How the fuck?
No one from there is listening to this. So.
All right, let's get into SmackDown and Botchomania. Raw is botch because boy oh boy, I had a counter going. It was fucking wild.
Okay, so this is the thing about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You set that counter going. How did you know there were going to be botches at the beginning? So like, did you just go?
I didn't. I wrote okay.
Did you just do a count when you saw?
Go ahead.
What's that? Yeah. Why did you start counting? Like normally, it's like just one botch. Did you just all of a sudden go, oh, hold on, there's another botch.
Yeah.
And start counting.
Pretty much, because it started, it was like, fuck, this is, and it wasn't like throughout the night, it was in a row, like segment. I was like, next segment, fuck up, next segment, fuck, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And I'm like, well, shit, let's see how long this goes. So, yeah, I was fucking stunned. I mean, it happened, obviously, it was like the first fucking... There was 4 out of 6 segments, and then they got to their normal shit. But Jesus Christ, it was constant. I got pictures.
I didn't notice any of it. I only noticed like the foot. Maybe that's the way that I'm watching it.
Yeah, maybe it should be, because I was like, what the fuck?
I definitely didn't catch the Mandy thing.
Oh really? Well, they blacked out the screen even, because I'm always on the lookout. So when I thought I saw and it went black and I go, ah, yes, I did see what I saw. And I rewound and took multiple pictures and tweeted them out at Lingus Mafia. So, yeah, I was like, oh, shit. And then she was constantly like trying to put her tit away. So I was surprised they didn't get it, that WWE porn on Instagram. So I messaged them and said, hey, in case you need, here you go. But they haven't posted anything. So there was a few things. The Peyton Royce thing I was fucking dying from. But we'll get to that when we get to Raw. So let's go through SmackDown first. Uso's in the ring to start this thing off, and he says how he's going to enter the Rumble. And they're going to keep it in the fucking tribe here. He's going to win, and then he's going to go on to Raw to beat the champion over there. And then they're going to have the whole WWE. He calls out Shinsuke for last week, the problem that was there. And he ends up, Shinsuke comes out now, and he mangles the English language by saying, if Reigns is the big dog, that means you're his little puppy. Oh my God. He really got him. And then they have to play the imaginary crowd, like clapping like he fucking got him. I'm like, fuck. Uso versus Shinsuke. Cesaro comes out to ringside for commentary. Uso's feet are on the ropes to get the win, but, the ref sees it and calls it off. It continues. Shinsuke, then wins. And Cesaro gets in the ring to celebrate. The whole time you're waiting for Cesaro to turn on Shinsuke, right?
Yeah, I think he'll do it eventually.
Yeah, and with them, that's why I was shocked it wasn't like day one, because that's what they fucking do. So now we have Pierce and Sonya in the back. And Paul shows up with the Royal Rumble contract. And he says, this is a no DQ match. You have to sign it. So Pierce signs it. And he's like, I don't want to. This is bullshit. I'm going to get killed. But okay. And he signs it. Okay. Uso is now yelling at Charles in the background. Do you have the phone on speaker or something like that? Because I'm getting the feedback of me talking. I could hear myself the whole time.
I always have it on speaker.
Today it's just a little bit harder, I think. It's a little too loud. Maybe turn it down a little bit and it won't come back at me.
Okay.
So Uso is yelling at Charles in the background about how he's going to lose his job if he doesn't do his job correctly. That he needs to do right. And so I'm like, oh no, this is going to be, you know, they're setting up this for Charles to, you know, help them eventually and get out of a fucking, so maybe this is the fucking Goldberg match. Maybe this is the, what we're going to get to match with, the Royal Rumble and Charles is going to help. We'll see how it goes. Roman with Apollo in the background, that's out of nowhere, but they have to show us what happened on SmackDown talking smack. Reference, but they do it later. That's the problem.
At least they did it at all. I don't get what's happened. Is Roman building a fucking faction here?
I wonder. I mean, obviously Apollo needs help. This reminds me of like Paul with Mr. Perfect's kid. You know, where it was, he needs help. Put him with someone who has credibility, but it just doesn't fucking work. I mean, obviously Apollo has skill and all that, and he's a big guy, and he could do fucking things that big guys usually can't, but there's a fucking problem, and I think it's probably just because they fucking, you know, didn't push him like a fucking monster to get go. So when you saw him to start, it wasn't something fucking special. He was Mr. Smiley. That's what we always called him, because that's all it was. It was a fucking smiling guy who had a match and was like, hey, guys.
You say that, but I always say this on, like, Russo's show. He couldn't speak. Or act or do anything but wrestle. So that's the problem with him and Ricochet and loads of these other guys. They have this performance center and NXT, etc. But they're not bringing in any people to sharpen up the acting. Which, you know, when you look at the other stuff on TV, if you're not competing with AEW, which you're probably not, and you're competing with other TV shows. I mean, I said this on Rooster Show the other day. Cobra Kai sets up storylines as heels, baby faces, tweeners, and it all builds up towards a fight. This weekend, like, Conor McGregor is going to cut promos, and he's going to have a real fight at the end. There's loads of people out there doing wrestling better than wrestling, so wrestling needs to sharpen up its game. And if you're going to give these people fucking scripts, and they're not actually getting to be themselves, then they need to learn how to act with scripts. So they need acting lessons. That's fucking 40% of their job.
Do you think he would have been better off just coming in straight fucking bad guy while he learned to do that? Because then he just could put on a scowl, beat up people, and maybe have, you know, somebody with him that talks.
No, I just don't think anybody should come up from NXT until they're ready, which includes acting lessons and promo skills. Like, the public speaking and acting is half of their job collectively, 25% on each one. In fact, the two things could be considered to be the same thing, but it's the different, basically 50% of the non-wrestling side of your performance is 50% of this job is non-wrestling, is a better way to say it. Like, 50% of it is not the wrestling. It's the public speaking, it's the acting. It's just generally just, you know, and I even like give them a pass in terms of the in-ring psychology and how their characters act in the ring. I always think of that as part of the wrestling, but the other part is still 50%. It's so big and none of these guys can do it. Look at Roman now. Mm-hmm. Look at the difference now when he's being this mafia boss that he's being at the moment and the acting that he's doing. How much fucking difference does it make? Has he changed anything in the ring at all? No, he could always go, and it made no difference. We fucking hated him, right? And now everybody's in love with him. He's doing the best work of his career. Why? Because he utilized his acting, and maybe he always had it in him. because the side of it where he was asked to go out there and play a babyface, he couldn't do. And perhaps that was just because he was put in a shield and everybody just wanted the other two guys pushed. And I think that way had been his problem in the first place, because they're like these fucking independent guys that everybody had a hard on for with Moxley and Tyler Seth, Black as he came through. But it was Roman that was always going to be the one that got it. So he was handicapped by that. But still, like the acting that he's doing at the moment is what makes it. He's making that work. And yeah, like even with Bray and Owens and these are the guys who you believe what they're doing when they're out there. Like you believe that there's a very, very short list of guys. Even Drew can be hit and miss, but sometimes when he gets angry, he's believable.
Yeah.
He can switch that shit on, and you know, he's 75% there in terms of being like a full package, but he's not full yet. He's not as sharp as what Roman is doing this character. Perhaps like, you know, I always think that Drew feels like he's more naturally a heel, but actually he's not. He's an actual nice guy in real life.
That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. If you take his personality, yeah. But I think he likes to obviously be a heel. But that the heel stuff he did was very much like the heels that took on Hulk Hogan. You know, those A's heels. Like he was set up just to be a big guy who, you know, squashed people and said, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. That's the problem with Apollo. And it's the problem with Ricochet. It saves us a conversation when we get to him, because obviously he had a really good match this week. And when you see that match and the finish and everything, you think, why? Well, why is he where he is?
Yeah.
Well, because he's where he is because 10 minutes before he went out and had that match, he cut a backstage promo, which was fucking awful with AJ.
Yeah, I almost fucking glazed over during it. I couldn't tell you what they fucking said to each other. I was so disinterested. I just have such a disconnect with everyone nowadays in wrestling. I was asked the other day, and I messaged this on our group message, and I said, I was asked by someone, they said, hey, who are your four top people? And I said, all time or now? Because I'm like, all time, I could give you a fucking giant list. And they go, now. I go, right off the bat, my first one was Roman Reigns, and then I sat there. And I had fucking nothing to say. I was like, I almost couldn't think of people. And I'm like, who do I care? Who do I, am I like, oh, I can't wait to see them. And I did forget about The Fiend. That should have been on my list, because that's at least, you know, something to see. And the way Orton is nowadays doing stuff. But I was like, Seth, because of the whole God thing that he was doing. And then I was like, I don't fucking know. And I said, let me think. And later I said, Sasha Banks. And I go, Mandy, just because I like Mandy. But I'm like, I had no fucking answer. I'm like, that is fucking sad. Because back in the day, you'd have, you know, a couple that you were like, that's my fucking guy. You know, you're always my ace guy. And I'm like, I don't have a fucking real favorite anymore. I enjoy Roman's character. That's about what it fucking is. And before that, I wouldn't have said Roman. So let's go through, like we said, Roman's with Apollo in the back, kind of teaching him how to do shit. And he's like talking softly to him. And Paul shows up with a signed contract. Roman says, I'm not signing a last man's. I'm not signing a DQ. No DQ. I want last man standing. And gives it to Paul and says, I want this to be considered done. Paul takes away. Liv versus Natty. Billie Kay comes out dressed like the Riot Squad, like a punk chick. Just when I thought she couldn't look any worse, she go ahead and prove me wrong. Billie Kay is scared of Tamina. She runs through the ring during the match to get away from her. Where Tamina's not even doing anything to her. She's scared of her. She runs through the ring, distracts Liv, and gets rolled up. Do you like Billy's look here, Billy?
No. But I mean, at least
they're doing something. There's something like with her.
Yeah, it's a show. It's like, you know, a show breaker where, you know, they're trying to do some like character development and they're trying to tell a little story. I'll just give this a pass, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're doing a story. Don't get me fucking wrong. Because God knows they've just, you know, put her on the fucking shelf and done. Corbin versus Mysterio. Dominic's on commentary, but Corbin keeps fucking with him. And he finally then just punches Dominic. Dominic gets up into the ring, tries to get into the ring race, tries to stop him, gets distracted. End of days, Corbin wins. Paul sees Pierce in the back and tells him he wants the match is going to be later for him. He's going to sign the match for Rumble in the ring later tonight. And he does a whole bunch of bullshit speak, which is pretty good because he's like, you know what? Roman didn't think that was fair to you, a no DQ, and it's not going to be that, you know, and, you know, goes through the whole thing and then says it's the last man standing, which is even fucking worse. Ray and Dominic talk about an upcoming plan to get Corbin, and they say, I know who we need to talk to. So what do you think this is?
I have no idea.
Okay, because... I'm like, well, when they said there, we know exactly who to talk to fucking, you know, get him. And I'm like, I'm trying to think back. Who the fuck had a story and this and that? And I wanted to try to have you take guesses at who you think they're calling.
Who's calling?
Ray. Ray and Dominic are talking in the back about going to get Corbin. I'm going to go get him. And Ray says,
I didn't really have to make too much of this because do you not just think that they're calling fucking Buddy Murphy?
Fuck. There you go. Forget about Buddy. He'd have been gone for fucking ever. But he's like, I know who we could fucking talk to and get. And I'm like, all right, who? I'm like a retard watching. I go, I have no idea who they're calling.
How Buddy Murphy and Aaliyah just all of a sudden went off TV. That was like the main story.
Yes.
They carried over from like Raw to SmackDown. And then it's like, okay, so they're together. And now they don't appear on TV anymore. I do know that just like it was planned last year, that this year Dominic and Rey are supposed to go for the tag belts at WrestleMania again.
Okay, that's good. They're doing something. I laugh because I'm like, they should bring back Aaliyah and them. They should come back. She have a big round belly. That'd be the fucking greatest. She's gone for a month and she's 8 months pregnant.
She's all on like Instagram with her like real boyfriend.
Yeah, I see that all the time. I say, oh, make sure you hug and kiss him more because he's get to go see you get cucked out here. So, ding dong. Hello, Billy. It's Bailey's new talk show. And there's a door in the ring and she fucking comes through the fucking door. Her guest is Bianca Belair, who she makes come through the door, and they do the corny bit where she goes, no, come through the door. And she goes, who is it? And Bianca has to go, you know who it is. Okay. So I guess we're going to have a Vikings versus Street Profits part two here, because now they're going to have a fucking challenge. And I know this is going to be every week. This week is going to be obstacle course, and it's going to say who's the EST, I guess.
Well, they did that because they had those Vikings and then they had black people. And you know how like black people like to like run and jump and then obviously like one week there'll be like a wrap off. Like Vince's,
oh God,
Vince's black culture references basically come from a couple of fucking TV shows he probably watched. And even though like he gives the smart answer where he's come out and said, oh, you know, my hero's Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
So he plays it clever, like where he like makes out that like Martin Luther King's his hero and does the big fucking MLK tributes every year. You know, that was like fucking the first 30 minutes of the show. The second 30 minutes was Orton. And the first hour was gone.
The old days are Raw. The show would have been over.
Yeah. Fucking Randy Mysterio. That was the first thing. But
we got to timestamp this because I will fucking shit myself if they have a battle rap or a dance contest involved in one of these things eventually. I'll fucking shit.
It was like the thing with the Viking Raiders, that was loads of stereotypical black stuff.
There was. There was a lot of fucking shucking and jiving and then stereotypical Vikings things, throwing fucking axes.
So, yeah, but that's the thing. Like, Vikings aren't a race, though. Vikings are like a group of fucking people that did have their own you know their own traditions,
culture and all that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, like, blacks have culture too. They're gonna have. I have inside sources too, Billy. You're not the only one. And my inside source told me in this contest they're gonna have a pocket picking contest.
Well, that's the thing that you can't like label people with the stereotypes. That's the thing. Some black people don't mind it. If you go, oh yeah, you guys love chicken. Some black people, they don't give a shit about that. But if it's like on TV and it's like, oh, it's like a dance off, mm-hmm. and then it's like some athletic thing, and then it's like chicken eating, and then it's like pickpocketing,
spitting seeds. Who could spit them the farthest?
You know what? That's a good point though. Like maybe this is just a sign of like cultural oversensitivity, because the Vikings weren't a race. They were like a group of people, but it's like completely fine to stereotype what activities they
because they
to
embrace
do.
It. Where, yeah.
Yeah, right. But when black people definitely do certain activities, like, you know, open, like, you know, it's synonymous with most black people, it's considered racist to talk about it. When you go, yeah, you guys like
they're gonna have a breakdancing contest.
You guys like to dance. You guys like to run. You guys like to eat chicken. You guys commit most of the crimes. Like all of these sentences are racist. Nowadays.
Oh my god. Yeah, that went down a fucking hill right there. You like to dance.
That's not factually correct. You guys create per person you create the highest percentage of crimes.
Well, and also throw in one of the best stereotypes, giant dick. Who wouldn't like these fucking stereotypes?
It's still racist to say.
Oh god, you imagine someone be offended you say they're known for having big dick, unless they're a woman.
It's like that thing where like Michael Scott on The Office put the he didn't let someone on the basketball team when they're playing the when they're playing the warehouse, and he wanted to pick all the black guys, mm-hmm. and he went Stanley obviously, and he's like why obviously, and then when he played he was terrible, but like you know that kind of shit is considered racist
because yeah, he generalized. And meanwhile though it's like, well, they're known to be the best fucking athlete. I would always pick the black guy if you got to have me pick an athlete by far. And that's the biggest compliment in the world. And it's how dare you? What are you fucking kidding me? It's the same as this fucking pig Rudy Giuliani, Mr. Melting Fucking Hair, where he fucking, oh, it is such a horrible stereotype that Italians are known like they're all in the mafia. I said, that is one of the best stereotypes ever. And I'm very happy to be Italian and have people think that. What are you kidding me? That's the fucking greatest. Who doesn't love the fucking mafia? So it's stupid.
Families that have been killed by people in the mafia.
Who said what?
Families that have been had people killed by people in the mafia.
Yeah, but that's the mafia only kills people that are related in the mafia. There's civilian and there's mafia. That's the thing. It's like a war. You don't kill civilians, you're killing other soldiers. So everyone who's in it knows the consequence. The families are left out, that kind of stuff. So maybe there's collateral damage on the side, and there's people being shaken down a lot and breaking legs and shit like that. But listen, this is part of the business. I could tell you stories about with my family. I got some good stories. Okay, let's move through here. Brian and Otis and Gable, they're training again. Cesaro shows up. It's going to be fucking take a guess, because they're going to have a match after this, Cesaro and Brian. It's what you'd expect from them, of course. And as we know, Brian's winning the Rumble because he can't win a fucking match. And that's what they do. Same with Money in the Bank. Take a guess how tall, they are, Brian, Otis, and Gable, because I think I have the answer.
How tall?
Yes. Because they lie, of course, but I think I know.
What do you mean, how tall?
How tall are like, they?
What, collectively or each individual?
No, each individual. Because okay.
Brian is 5'9". Mm-hmm. Gable would be 5'5", and Otis would be 6'1".
6'1". No, no, no. See, that's where I think you're crazy. I thought you had it right on the money. Because I know for a fact Otis is 5'8".
And no, no, no. I'm telling what they... What are you talking about, build heights?
No, no, with their real height.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wouldn't have guessed that high. Yeah, I would have gone 5'10", but yeah.
Yeah, so Otis is 5'8", and didn't Gable always used to say he's 5'8"? He's like 2 inches shorter than fucking Otis. So I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, he's 5'6".
It's weird they pushed Otis then if he's 5'8".
Yeah, and because he was on a podcast and he's like, yeah, I'm only 5'8", and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm a big boy plus being only 5'8". And I'm like, okay, all right. Now I kind of get a background, because then I see, like, Brian is like 1 inch taller than him. So he is 5'9". But yeah, Gable's shorter than they even call him on the fucking show, which is interesting. Carmella with her giant titties. She's interviewed in the back and she says, she hasn't seen Sasha since she beat her in a match. And then Sasha's in front of her, so she doesn't see her coming or anything like this, that she was fucking on her way in front of her face. Sasha says, you could have a title match, but she wants the Samaritan first.
Why have you changed it to Samaritan? I saw that earlier.
Yeah. Well, I called him a Somalian before, and now I call him a Samaritan. I'm going to call him everything but the real fucking name. So we're going to have that match, which will be interesting, which will bury him forever then if he loses and he's an actual wrestler. Well, now he's fucked then. This is what you have on this list. You say these two are solid top fives on your hot list at the moment. You like Carmella and you like, the Somalian. So you like Carmella and Sasha. That's your
Carmella and Sasha.
Yeah, they're looking good. I stare at these Carmella titties because they're so much bigger now, and I give them a good looking. Apollo versus Sammy. Apollo's on the way to the ring. Do you notice the new cameras WWE has now?
No,
they're the NFL cameras where it's very, very sharp in HD on the person, and when they get close to them, everything in the background is a blur. They do it on Raw now too, where they go into the guy walking down the ring and everything else around them is a fucking blur. It's the same as the NFL cameras. Big E.
What did I put in? So I put that in the notes, did I?
Did you?
I'm just looking through. No.
I did. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm seeing where I put about Carmella and Sasha.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I just put that in. I didn't think we would discuss it. They are solid top fives on my hot list at the moment. Yeah, they are, but they're like completely fucking different to each other.
Very.
And I like, and it's like this whole thing, you know, like where women go, oh, I got, well, what's your, when they go, what's your type?
Yeah.
This proves, right, that men don't give a fuck at all. Yeah. You just fuck the shit out of both for completely different reasons. It's like Sasha's like all, you know, like she's just all tight everywhere, and she like fucking, she can move like, mm-hmm. she I always think that both of these, when I think of these two, I realize, like, why can you like both? It's like, well, they both remind me of like strippers. They both remind me of like strippers. I'd get like fucking a dance of Ibram. Like Sasha would be fucking incredible on the pole, and Carmella would just come over and be like, oh yeah, I want to dance with her. I want to fucking see her tits. I want to see her. I want her tits. I want her tits in my face. I want like Sasha like grinding all over me, and I want Carmella just to fucking hit me up with her tits.
I picture Banks as a squirmer, like, because you could pick her up and have your way. Like you sent that video of her on the piano with her tan line on her ass, which was that. I like to see a tan line. That's what I like.
So me and Cav went to strip club once, and Cav went home at 10.
Yeah, I never went to the strip club.
Oh, you didn't even go in?
No, I didn't go. No, you went with Mel and Faust, I think.
I was at a door, and I'm sure I convinced you to come in for a bit.
Yeah, we were at the door. Yeah, we were at the door, and I was like, I'm fucking going home. I want to go fucking sleep. I've never been to a strip club in my life. Can you believe it? Of all people.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. Like, I ended up going with Nick and his cousins, though.
Yes.
Nick's cousin, who's fucking a millionaire. Multi-millionaire from Bitcoin.
Oh wow,
he's even richer than he was. He was just becoming a millionaire. He was worth $3 million when we went to New Orleans.
No shit.
He's now worth like He's now worth like 150 million.
Jeez, you know that Bitcoin thing too. I remember someone told me about that when it first started and said I should get fucking Bitcoin. I said, get the fuck away from me. Like Bitcoin. Okay, let's see. Sammy tries to get a win by pulling on the tights, but the ref sees it. Apollo then pulls on the tights, and that's not seen. Apollo wins, getting a little... turn it into a bad guy. He might as well have went to Retribution. He turned into a bad guy. Contract signing with Pierce and Roman. Now, Roman signs it after Pierce does. It's very nice. I like that they say, do you want to sit in the chair, Roman? And he goes, I don't want that one. I want his. Take his fucking... And I like that he made sure to sit at the head of the table. I thought that was a very nice touch that I wouldn't have thought of. After the contract is signed, Pierce says, I'm glad you did. I've been waiting all night for that. And walks up the ramp and starts limping. And says, you know, everything is card subject to change. I might not be ready by then. My leg hurts. But I could find a suitable replacement. And out comes KO and stands there. And he's back from his COVID isolation. And that's how SmackDown goes off the air. Mm-hmm. Shall we get into Raw?
What do you think of I said, I don't know if I said it on this show. I definitely said it on Russo's show that was always the plan to do that match anyways.
Oh, in the first place. I actually know somebody, one of the guys from Beyond the Mat, Mike Modest, was upset that Pierce wasn't having a match. I don't know why.
Is that Mike Modest still alive?
Yeah, of course. I could get him on the show if we want.
Oh, no, hold on. Mike Morris is the one who was the he was going to be one of the wrestlers, right? They had a trial.
Yeah, him and Tony Jones.
Oh, no, so I'm thinking of the fat guy that...
Oh,
the
Roland? No.
Yeah.
Roland died a couple years ago, not too long, maybe 5 years ago. I was doing the YouTube show when he died. Yeah, he was a character, but...
So he still lived... when was that documentary? It was 2000. So he still lived 15 years past that documentary.
Oh yeah, it was semi-recent that he died. I mean, yeah, I would say probably 5 years ago.
Actually, 15 years ago is not that far. When I think of I thought like the Attitude Era was longer ago now, but it's not. It's still like, no, hold on. He died 5 years ago. Yeah, 15 years ago is not that long, but 20 years now. Like since the Attitude Era mm-hmm. began, it's been 23 years. I think it's because we do podcasts and a poll. Yeah, it's 23 years for us.
Yeah, he got thin toward the end. I mean, he was sick and stuff like that. So he was getting thin, and then finally, I guess his heart probably just gave out. I mean, he was a big boy when I was in.
So when what do you mean he was getting thin? Like he was getting healthier?
And I don't know if he was getting healthier or getting sick. I think it might have been a little bit of both, like just not eating as much. Because he was getting sick, but he was always at the independent shows, all that shit. Everybody would go up to him like he's the godfather of the indies, you know, because that was the number one school, West Coast, because there was really no schools on the West. It was the rival school of Bailey. Bailey had, what the fuck was the name of that? Big Time Wrestling. And this one was All Pro Wrestling. They were the rivals. They would, her league would always bring in names. That's all they did. It would be Honky Tonk Man, and all those people would come in. APW made their own fucking stars. And like Crash Holly, he went in there from there. He was the Leprechaun back in the fucking day. But there was a whole fucking thing. It was a good time. It was a good time for fucking indie wrestling. So we should go into that one day. Fucking times at APW. So, okay, MLK Day, no more Vince doing that little opening where he goes, long live the dream. They should do that and then have it fucking be Velveteen Dream pops into the screen and struts to the ring. Orton, while wearing a mask for his burnt face, I thought it was Mr. Wrestling 1 with that sock over his face mask with the nose.
They've already done the memes about him joining the Dark Order and stuff.
It is good. I'm like, okay, fucking with the red nose and everything, and they gave him an actual burn person mask. Lacey and Flair in the back, Charlie asks about their relationship. She says she's just learning from the greatest, honey, you little nasty. Peyton versus Charlotte. Flair comes out with Lacey in Flair's robe to distract. Peyton roundhouse roundhouses are during a distraction and a kickout, of course. They couldn't have helped and just had Peyton win this because she needs a fucking win.
And Charlotte's lost for weeks.
Charlotte's lost for, well, but this, I'm fuck, Peyton could fuck it. It doesn't matter if Charlotte loses the next 10 if there's some bullshit involved. You'll never be like, oh, she's not going to be any good anymore. And all she does is fucking have a championship. Now, here's the first botch. Charlotte puts Peyton's foot on the... I like that Billy sent me the Dark Order fucking picture. She puts Peyton's foot on the second rope, like the top of her foot. So she's bent her leg backwards and she has it on the rope. And she's going to jump up and land on her like knees on her calf to push it down. And her foot comes off the rope, but she puts her foot back up underneath the rope to hold it up. Charlotte grabs it and puts it up again. And it falls off again, and Peyton does the same thing, and they just say, fuck it, and go through it. Figure eight, it's a tap out. The botch night continues, because now it is Lashley stomping the floor, and the cameraman's a fucking idiot. Because the cameraman did it right the first time. He showed it, and he got in close, and then Riddle mentioned his feet again. So fucking the cameraman backs up. And Lashley stomps the ground completely a mile away from his feet. And Riddle has to hold his feet and say he got stomped. Woods versus Mace Windu. Mace goes for his...
I caught this botch.
Yes, they had this on Botch Club on Instagram as well. Yeah, he tried to do like a tilt-a-whirl slam and like dropped... He went flying and he just landed. Fuck it. So that's three botches right there. They announce Mania for the next 3 years while they do a skit. They flash to the Thunderdome. They cut to the wrong camera in the middle of this. That's your botch four.
Okay, here. I caught that one. I just didn't count that.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, cameraman botches here. What's going on? Alexa, she does her playground with Asuka. And she talks to an invisible guy. And the rocking horse appears. And Asuka's freaked out. She leaves. I was begging. And I was hoping we would see the cameraman's hand making the fucking little horse move. But we actually didn't get that one. Okay.
Do you not think this is one of the worst things you've ever seen?
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to it now, I guess. I don't know. I mean... It is what it is. I don't go crazy from this. I'm just like, whatever. You know, I'm tired of her being going, you know, things got heated. You know, it's that shit. I'm like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Double J, Jeff Jarrett, talks about Goldberg versus Drew. He says Goldberg will win. And he does that whole thing with the hands in the air. Drew McIntyre versus Bill Goldberg, you know, like it's in fucking on a marquee. Mandy versus Sasha. Or Shayna, sorry. Mandy versus Shayna. Why do they make them flex, Billy? We talk about this every week. I get it if it was China. It's retarded. It's like, I get it if you come out and flex. Come out to the stage and do your flex and be done. I don't even think you should do it then because you're not big. So who cares? But if you have to do this, do it there. But they come out, they flex. They walk to the ring, they start flexing. They start walking around the ring with their fucking arms up flexing. They get in the ring and pose and flex. I write down now that it might not be a botch because we got Mandy's nip slip, but if you're counting, that's five.
I still can't see them. Even in your pictures, I can't see the nipple. You mean it's just the outside of the nipple?
Yeah, you
right?
See the aureole. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Oh, the aureola. Areola. I call it the aureole. Yeah. The round part, not the part that stick out.
Oh, that's. I don't think that counts.
I would like to see that. I mean, shit. The thing is, she's got those Franken tits, though. Her nipples are way to the fucking side. Like, crazy to the fucking side. Like, Igor. You've seen her in that gold bikini fucking shoot back in the day?
Probably, yeah. I don't think I noticed anything with her nipples.
Oh, my God. There's one where you'd go, her whole tit would be out. But not with this. It isn't. Let me try to type this in. Let's see. Mandy Rose Gold Bikini. Let's see what we come up with. Working on the fly, ladies and gentlemen. Working on the fly. That's a yellow bikini. Not quite gold. Getting there. Okay. See, she wore a lot of gold bikinis. Fuck, it's not like the first thing that fucking comes up, which I thought it was.
Yeah, it was a ring attire for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, she's doing one where she's laying down on the fucking beach. I'll have to find it and show it to you eventually, but it's that bikini top is so far to the fucking side. And I'm like, wouldn't everything be fucking showing here? But it is not. So we'll keep on going through here. Okay. AJ versus Ricochet. Obviously, by the way, Mandy loses that match. All she does is keep having matches that they lose. AJ, maybe she wins the Royal Rumble then, because she fucking loses constantly too. Okay. AJ versus Ricochet. I never saw a better ending to the Styles clash in my life. And we talked about this, Ricochet, earlier. He gets that suplex where you get dropped on your belly, the front face one, on the top rope, bounces off of it, and AJ catches him into the fucking Styles clash. They should have almost saved that for like a fucking Mania, but you know, Ricochet's not going to be in a match on Mania worth anything.
No, he won't be even. He'll be in a Battle Royal.
Yeah. So now we get the dirt sheet, and that is not Billy's show. That is Miz and Morrison, which I'm very tired of them together now as well. It's worn on me where I'm like, I think it's such a waste of Morrison having skill. That
exactly. Like, do you think that you know, he would have expected to be used like this when he was coming back in a year ago? He's done a full year now.
Yeah, and right off the fucking bat with that bullshit, that's pretty shitty. I found the picture, by the way. Okay.
Oh.
As soon as I saw one of the pictures where, let me send it to your iMessage here. Let me see. Okay. Now tell me her right titty, our left side. Tell me where the hell that nipple is. Do you have your receipt?
Where is this coming to?
It's coming to your iMessage, the one that you just messaged me Orton's picture on.
Right. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
It's way to the side. That nipple's like under her armpit.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I can see where the nipple probably is, but.
Yeah, and I guess it'd be a small aureole too. I mean, we saw those other nip slip where she did on Instagram Live or whatever, where it's like a denim jacket and the nipples way the fuck out.
She must have had like no tits before then, if they're all the way out there.
Yeah, or it's just a bad fucking job, or she had nipples on the side anyway. I don't know what the fuck. I mean, she's got money, and it's not like she got like those Dana Brooke porno tits. She's got pretty normal sized tits. So she didn't go crazy. I mean, she was a fitness chick. She ain't going to get some crazy ones. Dirt sheet. Gilbert shows up when they said Goldberg was going to be there. And, you know, he does his act from back in the day with the sparklers and the fucking, you know, the fire extinguisher. And then they say Drew McIntyre's coming out. And I said, well, I know that's not going to be, but let's see what happens. And it's a dumpy motherfucker who comes out with a belly on him. And, they just, you know, it's them making fun. And Miz says, neither of them are going to win at the fucking Rumble because I'm going to fucking cash in. Okay. Six man. It's Lucha.
You know, I just got a point to make here.
Sure.
This was the first week they had no football at all. Like, they had one week where they did the Legends Night. And there was the end of the NFL. And then they had the college football that then broke that up again. Mm. But now there's a clear run.
Yeah.
A clear run all the way to WrestleMania. WrestleMania season, Royal Rumble season, essentially started this week.
Yeah.
And it was considered a really important week from what I heard in terms of USA Network going, okay, you know, we're looking at this week in terms of where we're going to start delivering consistent numbers. So I don't think they achieved that at all. And then also on this show, on top of that, you're false promoting to your fans. Okay, Drew, Drew could have made it, like, because, you know, obviously I know him personally and I know he wasn't going to be there, but, you know, it is possible to come through COVID within, we don't know when he first had it, but, you know, it could, the 10 days could be up. You know, if you're really, really lucky and you're asymptomatic, mm-hmm. you can come back to work in 10 days or do whatever you want in 10 days. So he could have been there, but you false advertised Goldberg completely. And then you put these two guys out for this segment. So you false advertised to the people that did bother. And you're also trying to use this show. You're now in this period where you may have people coming back and you want people to come back. Ideally, you want to get back to that 2.7, you know, it's between 2.7 and 3, which you would normally get for Mania. Mm-hmm. And that's even like, you know, last year's Mania, where they were building up a vast majority of it. And here's the thing about the pandemic. We were literally 2 weeks away from getting to WrestleMania. Me and Austin were 1 week away, from actually flying out and being in Florida. And that announcement, like, you know, if that announcement had been a week later, we'd have been in the country
and stuck
where they canceled WrestleMania. So it's almost better that it was a week earlier. It would have been even better if it was 3 weeks later, because we would have actually gone and done WrestleMania. It's just fucking crazy when it was. But the fact is, the entire Mania build had been done. There was only 2 weeks left, and then they had to cancel it. That Cena Bray Wyatt thing, which I think was the last thing that happened, that was only with like 3 weeks to go. So the Mania numbers last year, as I was saying, were holding up. They were like, you know, late a lot, low twos, or like, you know, getting towards the threes. They'll do anything now for like 2.5. This is really the show where you like set the platform from. Like, this is what you have to build from. This was fucking shit. This was littered with, you know, pointless match after pointless match after pointless match after pointless match. And you didn't even bring anyone back for it. Goldberg could have been in on his own. Goldberg could have come in and just killed these two.
Yeah.
But no reason.
That's what I thought was going to do at the end, but.
Right. But like, they literally just did nothing on this show at all. Even Orton. I don't even know if Orton was even there. Like, they could have done that last week. They could have said, you know what?
Yeah.
Take a week off next week. We don't give a shit. We got no college football or NFL. You know, we can just
From his house.
Yeah, our audience is just going to come back anyway. Like, you know, they'll automatically
they go,
come back.
Billy and Cav are watching? They'll never stop. Go ahead.
It's fucking, this is such a shit show for your first week of being fully clear of your competition.
Well, jump into the end. First, we're going to say Hurt Business, they're going to have problems with each other. This is growing where Alexander has a problem with Benjamin. Drew talks from his gym with no COVID symptoms. Riker versus Jeff. Elias helps when he said Riker said not to. Yada, yada, DQ. And then it's the Bliss and Asuka thing. Now, it's a magic match where the lights change and she's dressed completely different. The only thing I'm pleased about is, well, you might as well use this time to do crazy shit since there is no audience and you can get away with it. Because they can't ever do anything when it comes back. They could do backstage shit, but they can't do this. They can't have a match where she all of a sudden has black lipstick and her hair is different, everything. And then she wins the fucking, her face changes with a flash and she's back to cute Alexa. So at least there's something. I don't know if, I mean, I get Undertaker magic and all that shit. And, you know, this is, they try to do, well, this is realistic. This is fake. This is magic now. I don't know.
Do you think that I feel like it gave the result of the women's Royal Rumble away? Because if she's going to be if she's going to be a fucking, well, not because she'd be her, but if she's going to be like a fucking monster and they're going, and this is what they're doing with her, how could she be eliminated this early? I mean, because with characters like this don't lose early. She's a female fiend. Fiend didn't lose for 6 months, but he shouldn't even have lost then. Like, he lost to fucking Goldberg, and it was dumb as fuck. Yeah, still one of the dumbest things I've ever done. But still, that wasn't the idea. The idea was to lose to Roman Reigns. So at least he was supposed to be there for, he was supposed to be unbeaten for 8 months. But Jesus. I mean, if you actually look at when he came on TV, which was just after Mania, and he was doing the Mr. Rogers stuff and whatnot, if you don't include matches, it was 8 months from his first match where he would have lost. And it was a year after his debut, or 11 and a half months after his debut. That's not too bad for them. So, yeah, this character is not going to take any kind of loss. I can't see her being eliminated from the Rumble. She said she's in it.
Yeah, and I guess
she's a 5-1 second favorite at the moment.
Who's first?
Bianca Belair.
Oh,
Bianca Belair was going to win. But I think what they've decided to do, it makes more sense, is for Bianca to win the Elimination Chamber, because all those women that she'll be in there with SmackDown can go. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it's her and Bayley that are last in the chamber, that'll be fine. And then you've got Natty and who else could do it? I guess you could put Liv in there.
Carmella,
yeah. Ruby Riott.
Yeah, you know, so do you think when Alexa gets to the ring, she stands in the middle and the lights turn off and on and she's evil Alexa and then has the whole match? Is this what's going to happen from now on? And you know what? Being a guy, she needs booty shorts under this fucking little outfit. Biker shorts are not doing it. She could wear her same little short shorts that she wears. Have them be black.
I don't know what booty shorts are, but
you know where the bottom of the asses hang out. The shorts that she fucking wears, as you know, that she used to wear.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
the
okay,
cheeks.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Like more skins bare, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, so it looks like you're almost looking under her skirt when you're not supposed to, you know. And we well know that obviously she's wearing shorts, but now she's got on fucking biker shorts. It's like Jesus Christ.
It's very odd, though. Like, I mean, I'd still bang her, obviously.
I mean, come on. But she is smear the black lipstick on your dick.
Yeah, but she is now like the Alexa. Obviously, there's that dark character stuff, but the other character is a child, and she's like and she's like small and like skipping around and stuff. Like, you know, if they had any fucking sense, they would like put this all over the place, because there is that fucking pedo like fucking market. There are, and it's not even like. I always, this term in terms of, you know, paedophile, I always say there's a difference between a paedophile who fucks babies and a paedophile who, you know, wants to fuck a
16-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. Big difference.
There's a big difference. They're both criminals. But for me, one's like, okay, you go to jail for 3 months and think about it. You're changing your ways. And the other one's like, and the other one should go to the electric chair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they all carry like, you know, similar sentences, or, you know, they're not.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Legally they do, but obviously the sentencing is never right. If you do fuck a minor, consensually, you'll get a couple of years. If you like do, you know, you'll get probably a couple of years for it. Or if you groom them, you may get more. But, you know, if you fuck a child or whatever, you'll get even more than that. Mm-hmm. But legally, it's all considered to be rape. It's all considered to be paedophilic, right? But obviously, judges hand down appropriate sentences at least. But I even think the discrepancy should be much higher. Like, it should be like, you know, 25, 30 years, life sentences. And then you should no way be doing more than a year for fucking a teenager.
You know,
no way.
It's funny.
Why should lie to you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's funny too is I know during there was like an election for, you know, certain laws, and they go, the Democrats want to legalize rape or fucking minors. It was something crazy. And I was like, what? And so I looked it up, and it was on a certain age, it would be automatic. You're fucking doomed, this and that. The other options were up to the judge. And that had to do with like, if somebody was 20 and the other person was 17. I'm like, yeah, that is proper, because that deserves, okay, are you dating each other? Let's get a story.
That was Velveteen Dream's loophole.
There you go.
He was young enough. He was exempt from being charged because I think he was talking to like an 18-year-old when he was 22, and I think that fell within the, I think it was like under 23, you can go to 18 or something. It was like weird laws in Florida, which is where you can.
Well, if it's 18 here, 18 doesn't matter. 18, you could be 50 and fuck an 18-year-old. It'd have to be under 16, that.
It's 16 here. I could go and fuck a 16-year-old right now.
That's crazy. Fine. See, yeah. I know Texas is like that. There's a couple states like that, but everywhere 14. Else, most
there's a couple of states that are 14.
God. But I also do say they didn't make 16-year-olds like they do now back in my day.
No, and here's the other thing, right? So, you know, Britney Spears was 16.
Oh, yeah.
She hit Britney Baby one more time.
And we all beat off to her.
The thing is that you start thinking about sex and you start having your like wet dreams and you start thinking about that kind of stuff when you get to 13, 14. The first girls that you fancy are sitting there in your classroom in their fucking school uniforms. That's where the psychological like attachment towards the school uniform takes place, because that is when you first want to fuck. Mm-hmm. And these are the times where you don't fuck, notoriously, unless you're really fucking going to some school with some real fucking slags that want to get it on. Like you're not going to get laid at 14 as much as you want it. You do have to fucking grind it out. Those, you know, 4 or 5 years and rest. Some of you are wrestling fans still waiting, but
their name would be Joshua Slags, right?
The slag means, what does that mean over there? You know what I'm saying.
I know what it means. Yeah, I mean, horse, we don't even have that, but yeah, I wouldn't know what it means. Yeah.
The horse. So that that's the age of like discovery, but most people wait until at least 3 years, 17, 18, 19, maybe even your very early 20s. You're waiting for that first fucking bang. But the whole time, you're just jacking off the fucking schoolgirls, essentially, for your teenage years, right? And then that's where that attachment comes from. So also, this is the age where, like, I mean, between like 16 to 22, 23, everybody's at their fucking peak. You know, they're not, most of them, they're not fucking putting on fat, getting pregnant, having babies, you know, like everything's like, even if you're eating fucking, you know, even if you have a bad
Jesus,
diet, like
your phone. Fucking Christ. Know, it's, why don't you put that on silent when we're doing this? It's always...
It's fucking Twitter. It's just that you can't silence it.
Well, you could put the little silence on the end of the phone.
It's already on. It makes no difference.
Really?
It overrides it. What was my fucking point here? My point is that this is what you fucking think about for years and years and years. And there's no condition with your brain where it trains itself to start liking the age that you're moving up to. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like the thing is that you don't like, you know, as you're 40, you don't go, your brain doesn't chemically
follow
start
it.
Attaching itself to 40. Yeah. You don't ever stop liking that girl that was in your classroom. You know, that follows you around. The girls that you liked in school, it follows you around, and the look follows you around as well. You don't automatically stop. So that's where that like fetish comes from. Should you be pursuing 14-year-olds in your 40s? Probably not. But the fact is that you're still going to formulate attachment to it. So this is the thing with Alexa Bliss. She does tick the boxes of that kind of borderline pedophilic. I don't even like to use the word because I don't really think they're pedophiles. But, you know, that kind of fetish. And they should be doing more with it. Like, you know, they should be like plastering her around with this kind of stuff and using her to like, I mean, she's getting a lot of TV time anyway, so perhaps they know what they have and they are dressing her up really fucking kiddie-like. That's the weird thing, because I can understand when, you know, Alexa's being young and she's coming out. If Alexa was coming out in school uniforms and stuff, it'd be different. But the fact is like, you know, they're making her real like kiddie-fied makes it weird. Mm-hmm. But I think always the fact that she's been like small and, you know, and even with the like the girls that like do the grungy punk stuff like Liv Morgan, that's very like fucking teenage. Mm-hmm. That will tick a box where, you know, maybe you were going through college and you wanted to fuck Liv Morgan. Like there will be loads of Liv Morgans in your colleges and universities. So yeah, there's a lot of women here they could be doing a lot more with. There's a lot of women that tick a lot of boxes. I know obviously everybody goes back to Sonny and Sable and Brian Panty's matches and Tori Wilson and all those, you know, over that decade. But they did a lot more with that. I think all those, you know, there's way too much wrestling and the way too many of these women are made to wrestle. There's a lot of shit that you could be doing with Carmella and Lana and Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss. And yeah, you could really be like hooking people in. Like, but the thing is this whole PG tag, it just makes it so fucking weird. It seems like they can go non-PG when they burn a guy, they burn a guy to death. But they can't go non-PG with fucking bringing back anything sexist because these fucking social justice warriors in these marks will go, oh, women's revolution. This isn't revolution. These are divas again. And now we can't get no fucking tits, ass, any kind of like teasing, nothing at all.
Keep on jacking.
Here's an interesting thing. I wonder what happens when Nikki Bella is going to be joining the booking team on SmackDown.
Really?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan's got her in.
God, I don't even want to begin this. We're already in an hour. I'll go crazy. Save this for the next show because I'll fucking lose my mind. Fuck.
I wonder how she's gonna.
I can't imagine. She's airhead. She's a moron. The fuck, she. Gonna
she doesn't think she. She doesn't think she is.
Oh, and I know.
And her fucking step. What is it? Step when your husband's Matt, your wife's husband.
Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, what the fuck am I talking about? Your brother.
You can make a porno. Brother. Your stepbrother.
Oh, this is my brain. This is my fucking COVID brain fog. Like I'm forgetting shit constantly.
Well,
today, I was typing something from something else today, and I had to look up the fucking. I had to look up the spelling of a word three times. It's like
Jesus
fuck.
Christ. Oh man. Well, all my nonsense, as I said, was at Lingus Mafia on Twitter. Billy's Twitter is at dirtysheets.com. Do you have anything else to add before we take off, Mr. Billy?
Podcast and a poll is out this week. Sorry, we're recording it this week.
I'm
see what I mean. I'm having cognitive issues. Jeez. I'm turning into Russo.
Oh god.
The more time. Kev, please close the show. Please tell your post story.
All right.
Your post story.
Oh, my story is going to be on my show today about what happened with Russo, and it's going to be an amazing fucking story.
All right. So if you
it's going to be on Patreon too. I could send you the fucking listen. I'll send you the file. Jesus fucking Christ.
Don't bury him too much and get us fucking booted off.
It's not going to be buried. I'm telling the fucking truth of what happened.
Yeah, but sometimes the truth buries people.
I'm Cav. He's Billy.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.